This is the Hub on Stage, coming to you from the Performance Studio. On the Hub, it's time to experience Lorelei. The Lorelei is a rocky outcrop on the banks of the Rhine River in Germany, and it's the setting for a 19th century story about a woman called Lorelei, who, having been jilted by her lover, is sent to a nunnery by the local bishop. But rather than endure a life of confinement, she leaps to her death from the rock and is transformed into a siren, a temptress who lures sailors to a watery death with her very sexy songs. Well, now that story has received a makeover in an opera commissioned by the wonderful Victorian Opera, and I was at opening night, and I've got no doubt that this one has the potential to become a favourite at art centres all around the world. Victorian Opera has advertised it as a sort of raunchy opera meets cabaret number. But its political ambitions are a lot more serious than that. The show is directed by Sarah Giles. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
The musical director is Phoebe Briggs.
Hi.
Who's on the piano. Just prove you're on the piano.
Ta-da!
It's there. And the show is the brainchild of Ali McGregor.
Hello.
Who is the red one.
The red one, yes. That's how I shall ever be known.
There are three Lorelei all in a row up on a platform, a beautiful, in beautiful, sexy rooms, big pink rooms, and they're all wearing these lavish dresses. There's a pink one, there's a red one, and a green one, and you're the middle one.
I am Lorelei B.
So you're a soprano. You've made a career in cabaret, although you're trained in opera. What attracted you to this story, the Lorelei?
It was something like when I was studying music. We used to do a lot of German lead, you know, German song, and there's quite a few, there's a beautiful Goethe poem, there's quite a few sort of German song written about the Lorelei myth. So it was something I'd come into contact with when I was studying and always fascinated. And as time went on, I was also equally fascinated with the siren myth, and I started seeing parallels in all sorts of places about this sort of, this idea of women's beauty and sexuality being laden with this sort of power over men, but then realising that actually that power may not be what it seems. So it was originally going to be a piece for the three of us, Dimity, Antoinette and myself, to do for our opera burlesque show. I was going to create a cabaret show using music already written about the Lorelei. But then as time went on, I thought it could be a new piece, and I heard Julian Langdon's music and really wanted to work with him. And then it sort of went on from there.
Right. So you've got three sopranos in this cast. So, Sarah Giles, you're the director. Casey Bonetto, who we know from Keating the Musical, and he's been on the show here lots of times. Gillian Cosgrove, who's a very witty cabaret performer. They wrote the story or the libretto. I don't know why we always talk in Italian in opera, but the story, the words, the lyrics. What was their brief?
I think their brief was, I don't know. I think you kind of gave them the brief, Ali.
Yeah, well, we did a sort of two-day workshop, actually, Julie and Casey and myself, and tried to sort of talk about this. I think actually before Sarah came on board. The idea I had for it was fairly loose, and I really wanted to get a great lyricist involved. And Casey works as a dramaturg a lot as well, so there was a sense, he has a very good sense of narrative. I really wanted to look at the three different sort of types of women, that women sometimes get put into boxes a little bit. You're either the innocent, sort of virginal young woman, or you're the sort of motherly, nurturing mother, or you're the sort of slutty, wanton hussy. And in that, we often, especially in opera, get put into these little boxes. So I was interested in the idea that women get put into boxes, but we are usually a lot more three-dimensional than
right.
that.
So it's a critique of opera stereotypes, partly, is it? I mean, there is some reference to Carmen and to Juliet, as in Romeo and Juliet. I thought Mimi was another one that could have been referred to, but the, you know, of women who are, put in a stereotype that's to do with their sexuality and their beauty and their power.
I think it's also about authorship. I think a lot of those characters have been authored by men, and it's a very different experience when women author women. And I think we talked a lot about the Bechdel test, which is that great test to test gender bias in texts. So, you know, are there two characters? Are they female? Do you know their names? Do they talk about something other than a man? And very few classic texts pass this. And
very few modern films, in fact, even pass this test.
And so it's sort of, I guess in terms of when I came on board, I was really interested in the idea of how do you debunk this, I think, quite misogynist myth, regarding Lorelei and how do you pick it apart? And yeah, that was something I was really keen.
Yeah, and I think the siren story has been told in many different ways, but we've never really seen that story from the siren's point of view, from the female perspective. So that was another thing we wanted to explore.
So the show starts sort of as classy fun, basically. So we think for quite a long time it's going to be funny. In fact, the audience rather infuriatingly continued laughing, even though... Did you?
I thought it was irritating. I don't mind that at all either.
I think the laughter and the enjoyment allows you to pack a really powerful punch at the end. And I think, yeah, I liken the show to putting an audience in a nice, comfortable, warm bath and then turning the temperature up very gradually until the end when...
You treat them like frogs.
Yeah, sure.
Not that I'm encouraging treating frogs in this way, but I gather that there's something about frogs not knowing it's getting hotter or colder, isn't there? Anyway, that's the idea. Sure. All right.
It's a French thing.
So what happens is that the Lorelei, who are in these huge dresses and sing these lovely music and lure sailors to their deaths, decide one day to stop doing it. They basically go on strike. Well, they have a walkout and they decide not to sing.
We all in our different ways decide that, you know, just this, for some reason, this one day we question why we're doing this, why we're sort of getting ourselves dressed in these extraordinary gowns and extraordinarily uncomfortable and you know, we're not even able to move in these gowns. We question that and think, well, we'll just do this once. We won't sing and see what happens. And that is the sort of second half of the piece, is exploring what happens when they don't sing.
Well, let me tell you what happens. The boat crashes anyway. The boats crash, so they realise that actually the singing has no impact on anything. Boats just crash.
And it's that question of why have we been going to all of this trouble?
Yeah.
And it hasn't actually made any difference.
The women realise they've been gaslit, that they've been told this is your fault, you've been doing this, but in fact they're not to blame. And I think that's...
They've been gaslit.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
That's kind of like you convince someone of something that is not real. So... what's an example?
Everything that President Trump has said over
the past year. So it's sort of what we say to women. Women can't be leaders, women. And you sort of convince an entire group of people. Or, you know, you can do it to your kid and go, oh, the telly's not working, sweetheart. That's why you can't. It's a lie.
Yeah.
You're selling them a lie.
And you do that, do you, Sarah, to your children?
Absolutely, all the time.
You tell them the television's not working.
Yep. Broken, wow. Really broken.
Sweetheart, you heard her here. Mummy's telling you fibs about the telly. What's her name?
Wilma.
Wilma?
She's actually outside.
Wilma, she's outside. We'll bring her in. Wilma, Mummy's been fibbing to you about the telly. It works fine. All right, we're going to have a little number. What happens in this one, Ali?
We're going to sing a little number called Our Lorelei, and it is sort of once we've realised that we have no autonomy and we suddenly remember the original Lorelei that we are here representing.
Right, so this is the moment after the women have taken off their gowns and they're just standing there in their, you know, their girdles and whatnot, their under things.
It's how you sell it though, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's not. They're not there looking sexy. They're looking there like...
No, we've stripped ourselves
of
this sort of, yes.
And all the paraphernalia that goes underneath a costume to make you look sexy is on display.
Yes.
And they think they're actually performing an act of kindness, but the boat crashes anyway. And then they think, well, what the hell have we three been doing? We've been here for 100 years singing sailors to their
death. Anyone even heard us?
Yeah, maybe. Who is the master of this? Who's pulling the strings in this?
Who is the great commander?
Who is the great commander is the line I was looking for. Let's have the song. Thank you. That was happening in real time. That must have sounded amazing at your place. It certainly sounded amazing here in the studio. That's Ali McGregor with Phoebe Briggs on the piano from the show Lorelei. And that extraordinary sound right at the start, which sounded like a theremin, that weird electronic instrument, is your voice.
It's me.
Can you just, do you mind just showing us just doing that without a... See, that is spooky. Have you always been able to do that? Or did it take millions of years of training to get your voice up into that spot?
Well, it's called whistle tone, and it's something that I kind of discovered by accident and did for funnies, really. I was doing, I still do a version of Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC, and I use that as a kind of orgasmic guitar solo. And so I really always just did it for laughs, and it's sort of become my thing, I guess. I had an ENT put a camera down there and to
an
figure
ear, nose,
out
and
what's
throat
happening.
Specialist.
Sorry, an ear, nose, and throat specialist to have a look down there. And apparently, the video now gets used in German conferences because they're not quite sure how.
You're sure it's not a German performance piece? It sounds very Berlin.
It does,
Let's
doesn't
now
it?
Look at the tonsils of
my new career
of a singer doing. What's it called? That singing?
It's called whistle tone.
Whistle tone.
Yeah, so it's different to falsetto. It's not using the false chords. I'm kind of whistling through my throat, but no one quite knows how the intonation. I've just sort of managed to sort of practice enough to be able to get the intonation right.
It's a complete mystery.
It is a mystery.
Well, look, it's a wonderful
it's
show.
It's a lovely mystery.
Thank you to all three of you for coming in. Thanks, Phoebe.
Pleasure.
You conduct the band too.
I do, yes.
Yeah, down there in the pit. So the pit in that studio, which is at the Malthouse Theatre, is just a tiny pit, but it was perfectly big enough for the band you had.
Yes, we've got a 12-piece band and it is, you're right, it's perfect for that size orchestra and it fits the venue. This piece fits the venue perfectly.
The whole thing is marvellous. Ali McGregor is the singer, Sarah Giles is the director, Phoebe Briggs is on the piano. The show's called Lorelei, music by Julian Langdon. It's a Victorian opera production playing at the Melbourne Malthouse Theatre until the 10th of November. Just 70 minutes. It'll give you lots to talk about and I hope it tours festivals all over the world.